Mishnah Yomis for Monday, the sixth day of Elul, Tavshin Pei Dalad. Masechta Baba Kama, Perek Teshi'i, Mishnah Ches. We continue the topic of the previous Mishnah, and that is about a Shomechinam who has the ability to swear that the article was lost or stolen, and he'll be exempt, unless he, of course, he himself stole it. But there's a big difference between the previous Mishnah and what we're about to say in this Mishnah. In the previous Mishnah, the person made a taina. The Shomer said that it was lost. He didn't say it was stolen. It would have been the same patur, same exemption. It would have been potter. But he, in the previous Mishnah, he said it was lost. And then Adim witnesses find out that he himself ate it, consumed it. Well, in that case, he's not deemed as a ganav, but he has to pay the article back. He has to pay for the karen. He has to pay the principal amount. There's no chomish and osham because there were witnesses that made him pay it, not his own admission. But there's no kafel. Here we're talking about a case, where Reuben gave something to Shimon to mind, and then Reuben comes and asks, Hechon Pigdoini, Mishnah Ches, Hechon Pigdoini, where is my article that I gave you to mind? Omaloi, Shimon responds, Nignav. He says, sorry, stolen. And Asher Mechinam, as we said, is potter for gneiva, potter for stealing, so he doesn't have to pay. That's what he said. He swore to say that. He said that. But then Reuven says, do you swear to support that opinion? Do you swear that it was stolen? Mashbiyacha ani, I make you swear. But Omar and Shimon responds, Amen. He says, yes. Now, answering Amen after someone says, I make you swear, is the same as giving a shvur. That's actually Kabbalah shvur, accepting a shvur like that. An oath is like saying the oath. So basically now, he has sworn that it was stolen. And now, v'ha'edim me'idimoy so shegnovay. Witnesses come along and testify that he himself stole it. Meshalom teshlum kefil, he will have to pay double. He'll have to pay the kefil. Why? Because one who tainas, a shomer who says that it was stolen from him, but he himself stole it, that shomer is called a ganav, and he has to pay double. What happens, however, hoidem atzmai, what happens if he himself, on his own admission, said that it was stolen? Meshalom kerin, b'chomesh, b'osham. He pays the principal. He adds the fifth, which is what we call a quarter of a principal, the osham, and he has to bring a korban osham. But he does not pay kefil. Why? Because he admitted it himself. And when does the Torah say a person pays kefil? When he is found out by Adim. Asher Yashen Elokim Yishalm Shnal Re'eh. When a Beis Din make him guilty as a ganav, then he has to pay double, but not when he himself admits it. As we said in the previous Mishnah, the Shomer said it was lost, not stolen. And here in our Mishnah, we're talking, and in our Mishnah, the Shomer said it was stolen, it was ganav, it was nignav. The Tosfos point out that the Chiddush of the previous Mishnah is that even though it turned out that the Shomer himself, the guardian, had actually consumed it, and it's not even here now. It's destroyed. It's not even available to put it back. Nevertheless, he's potter from kefil because he said ovad, because he said it was lost, rather than saying that it was stolen. And the chiddush in our Mishnah is here, in Mishnah Ches, that even though the article is still here, it's ba'an, it's intact, he can give it back. And nevertheless, he's chayv kefil. Why? Because he said it was stolen. That's how powerful this taina is. If a person says that it was stolen and it was really he stole it, that's it. He's considered a ganav. Even if he gives back the original article, kefil will be for him to pay. Mishnah Tes. Hagozelis aviv v'nishbaloi. Person who stole from his own father, and he swore to him that he didn't steal it. Vomes, and then he died. And the gzela, the article that he stole, is intact. He's got it there. Harzeh Meshalem Keren V'Chomesh Levonov. He pays the principal amount, he pays the fifth, which was really what we call a quarter, and he pays it to the children of his own father, in other words, his own brothers, he pays it to. Oyle Echob, or he pays it to the brothers of the father if there's no other children. This is despite the fact that he himself, being a child of his, being a fellow brother, he himself is one of the Yorshim, one of the heirs. So you might think, well, at least he can keep his portion of the Yerusha. And the answer is no. He has no kapara, he gets no atonement until he takes the entire thing that he stole, the gzela that he took, and as the Torah says, v'heshiv es gzela, he has to return the stolen thing. Notice in our Mishnah, we're not talking about a ganav here, there's no kafel involved here, we're talking about a goizel, gzela. That's how Rashi learns. According to Tosfos, he learns, what does it mean, the children? He says, the children of his own, of his own. The gazlan has to pay to his own children, or to his own brothers if he's got no children. Why? Because we look at him as if he's not here, we look at him as if he died, he has no chelik in Yerusha, but we look at as his own children or his brothers are inheriting him. So we bypass him. We say, yes, he is a child, but we look at him now as if he's inherited it and then died. He's not getting anything. His children will get it or his brothers will get it. He has to get the gzela out of his hand. That's how Tosfos learned. V'im eino roitza. Let's say this child who stole from his father does not want to lose his portion in the Yerusha of his father. Or maybe he simply doesn't have any assets. He can't afford to give up his chelik in the Yerusha. Well, the Chachamim have a takana for him. They have a leniency for him. What he can do is, loiver, he can borrow from other people an amount of money equal to the value of the gzela. Then he takes the gzela, the stolen article, out of his possession. And by giving it to his brothers to do the mitzvah hashavas gzela, uvale hachoiv boim benifraim, and then his creditors, the ones who he borrowed the money from, can take the gzela from the gzela from that stolen article, the chelek, the portion that the gazan had in it. Now this is again a special leniency that the Chachamim made. It's a little bit of a loophole, and now in order to allow for the gzela to get out of his hand, and nevertheless not lose his Yerusha, because he's going to get his Yerusha in the sense, because he's allowed to borrow up to the value of that gzela, and then the creditors will simply take the money from whatever his portion was in that gzela. The Gemara says that if there's no other heir in his father's Yerusha except for him, he's the only heir, then he gives the gzela to his creditor as payment of the debt, or he can use the gzela to pay off his wife for her ksuba if he divorced her, or he can use it to give to tzedakah. No problem, as long as he tells in each case, this is what I've stolen from my father. He should do that to get that kapara. We've learnt the Mishnah according to Rashi and Tosfos, both of whom learn that there is an underlying principle that he is, that the gazlan, although being an heir for his father and inheriting from his father, he still needs to pay the brothers or his father's brothers the amount of the gzela that he stole. He needs to do that. Rambam learns differently. According to him, there is no obligation upon the gazlan to pay the yorshim of his father his chelak in the gzela. And that's because it's all his as a Yerusha. It's his portion, his Yerusha as a Yerusha. The only thing is that the Chazal, according to Rambam, the Chazal just simply wanted that if the gzela is around, if the article is still here, then he should not keep it. He has to take it out of his property, but then he can always ask the value of his Yerusha, the value of his chelek in the Yerusha, to be compensated by the other brothers, or the Yerusha. And this is how the Rambam learns Pshat.